so many things in place right now in the body of Christ. There's a great level of faith. People are rallying around, really concerned about God's will in the earth. And I'm looking at maybe not what's missing, but what is being underemphasized. And what the Spirit spoke to my heart is this issue of obedience. It's easy to rally people around causes. It's very difficult to get every individual believer listening to the voice of the Lord, personally obedient to what the Spirit is speaking. But I think that's so crucial because we get lost in the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is the world around us and all the problems that are there and what God needs to do, the kingdom of God needs to come. But as believers, we've got to understand that what goes on in our spirit impacts the bigger picture. You can't look at your own life and say, well, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to have faith for what's out there. Unless you become a light, you don't impact what's out there. And it's our obedience to the Lord, to His word, that becomes a light in us, that impacts the greater world around us. Right now, everybody is very politically charged with the elections coming. I'm getting so tired of all the stuff I'm getting. And I'm saying, let me be clear on this. We need to be concerned about what's happening. Our country is in real need of God's direction and impartation. But if you're asking me, is God a Republican or a Democrat? I'd have to say neither. You know, really, you get caught in the political realm, and if you're listening to what other people are saying and all these issues, you get swept up in a lot of opinion that you mistake for revelation. If you want really to go to the scriptures and find out how God deals with politics and government, read the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, a handful of people obedient to God changed the course of a nation. Nebuchadnezzar was not a godly man. Yet he came into a revelation of God because of the obedience of a few. God was able to impact the government, not because everybody had big rallies and said, this is what we got to do, we got to vote Nebuchadnezzar out. Not that you could do that at that point. But a few people obeyed God and became a light that changed the course of the nation and affected the leader. So what I'm saying is, whatever your political views, you can say we need this one in office, he goes to church. Well, you know what? If someone is going to church and they're in politics, I say that's good. What that tells me is I share similar beliefs with them. It doesn't tell me if they're open to the Spirit or what God wants to do.
That's right.
So when I look at this picture, I have to admit I don't have that much revelation. I want God to put people in that He can influence. And how can we discern that? Well, I think we need to be a light, be obedient to the Lord, and then we'll probably have a greater revelation of how God wants to move with things. Don't get swept up with all the excitement and hype out there. Listen to what the Spirit is speaking to your heart. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to take in a few verses this morning. We're all concerned about the disobedience of the age. Here's how Paul addressed it. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Wonderful. Then he says, we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Where's the emphasis? We got to pray against all the disobedience out there. We got to get people in public office that are going to be, you know, church going, that believe like we do, and then we can make all these changes. No, when our obedience to the Lord is complete, we have light. That's what dispels darkness. What we like to do, here's a religious approach to darkness. You walk into a dark room and you start screaming against the darkness. The spiritual approach is you go into a dark room, you turn on the light switch. Become a light, that's the answer. When our obedience is complete, we are a light, then God deals with the disobedience. This whole issue of obedience, I think we have problem with because of the old covenant and the law. Under law, we look at obedience as being something of avoiding punishment. And you go back to the scriptures of how God dealt with Israel. He said, if you obey me, you get what? Rewarded. If you disobey me, you get punished. So that's kind of a weight, and we've got to understand that that's not what obedience means in New Covenant life. In New Covenant, you've got to go to Romans 8:1, which says, there's therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, under law, there was condemnation, right? But in New Covenant, whether you obey or disobey, you are not condemned. So we don't obey God to gain God's approval or acceptance. Because we are accepted in Him, out of that acceptance flows obedience. And it's called the obedience of faith. If we look at a couple scriptures, and you can look at this later, Hebrews 11:8, talking of Abraham, says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. The obedience of faith. If our sense of obedience is avoiding punishment, we're never stepping out into new territory in God. It's kind of like we're always looking that God is ready to drop the other shoe on us, however you want to look at it. That feeling of, I deserve punishment, and I've got to obey to avoid that. Boy, that you talk about futility and frustration. That's not the spirit of the Lord. Amen. When we're free of that and we realize that there's no condemnation, you say, well, I can do whatever I want. But what do you want to do when you know God loves you? You want to obey His word. And it's like Abraham, by faith, this obedience of faith, you're able to step out into areas where your mind is not even leading you and follow God. Your faith is able to take you into new territory spiritually. That kind of obedience comes from faith. But we have to be free from that negative connotation that I better obey or else. No, God loves you so much that obedience can be the expression of your faith in Him. In Romans chapter 16, verse 26, it says basically the same thing. Says that now is manifested and by the scriptures of the commandments according to the commandment of the eternal God has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. Big difference. The obedience that deals with punishment, reward, is not the covenant we live in. It's the obedience that comes out of faith. It's very easy to get people rallied around, let's say, a call to prayer, call to fasting. You can fill a stadium. People want to respond. But talk about people listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing what God tells them to do. You couldn't fill a room with that. I mean, people go, that doesn't excite me. Yet I think that's the very thing that is needed most in the body. Nothing wrong. It's great to get people to rally around for the prayer and the fasting and fill up stadiums, and that's all positive and good. But it cannot take care of or mask that deeper need that we all have a responsibility to be led by the Spirit. If you say, everybody, I want you to meet at a certain spot on a certain day and we're going to pray, people don't have to be led by the Spirit. They just listen to what you say, and either they do it or they don't do it. We're talking about obedience to the Spirit. It's a very individual thing. Every one of us is hearing something different. God's requiring different things from each and every one of us. So it takes that effort of faith to say, I'm going to pay attention to what God is speaking to my spirit and what He wants for my life. It's in human nature to sacrifice time, money. We get that. But it's not innate in our nature to be obedient to God in the way we're talking about this morning, the spiritual way. 1 Samuel 15. And you're all familiar with this. Verse Verse 22, and Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. We're always willing to sacrifice. It's very much a part of our religious nature to say, God, I'm going to give something to you. I'm going to do something for you. Yet what does the heart of God want? I'd rather you listen to me and follow what I tell you than to do all these other things. How many burdens that we carry trying to do for God, and it's a heavy weight on our shoulders, and he hasn't even required it. Amen. Yet the simple things he speaks to our heart. Well, you say, well, I don't know. What's the voice of God? Jesus said in John 10, my sheep know my voice. We have no excuses. But we're always making excuses for the things that he speaks to us to do. It's easier to sacrifice than to obey. Because to obey means you've got to take your walls down to the Father, to his voice, and it becomes personal. Because what he speaks to your heart to do may be the very thing you don't want to do. But that's it really defines our relationship with him, doesn't it? I can sacrifice a lot. Do I have a relationship with God? You really can't tell. I'm just doing a lot of stuff. But if I'm obeying his voice, that only comes about because I have a living relationship with him. And in fact, I don't think we can obey unless we're able to draw on his grace to do it. I don't need grace to sacrifice, but I need grace to obey his voice to my heart. So it involves him. It involves relationship with him. Hebrews 5:8 says this, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Talking about Jesus. Although he was the Son of God, obedience was learned through suffering. It's not innate. It's something we learn through our life experiences. So don't look at it and think, well, I just have such trouble with being obedient. Remember in Romans 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God? We're created in this human way that's going to fight God. Why is it that way? Did he mess up on the design? I mean, God created us. Why are we so messed up in our thinking that we're always resisting the Spirit? Because he never wanted it to be something we could do in our own strength. We can be religious in our own strength. We can only be spiritual through his life and through his grace. So we have to draw on him. Now, your life experiences, you can gain this one thing or another. Either you will say, well, I've been through a lot of hardship. I'm bitter about this. I'm angry about that. I'm disillusioned about this. Or you can say, I've been through a lot of suffering, and I haven't liked a lot of it, but one thing I've learned to be obedient through it. As God's put me through different things that I haven't asked him for, what's been worked in my heart by the Spirit is an obedience to his voice. Paul talked about obedience, and I just have such respect for him and the apostles and disciples of the early church and how they would rather obey God and they weren't afraid of what people thought. I think one of the biggest hindrances we have is the fear of man. We fear what other people think. We fear what is acceptable out there. And let me go to a verse on that in Acts chapter 5. Verses 28 and 29. This is actually concerning Peter before Paul, but it's saying, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. We need that set in our heart. They all were of one mind in this. They knew what was at risk, but it was very clear to them that the voice of the shepherd was the only thing they had to pay attention to. And I think what's kind of eroded the faith and life of the church is when this issue of obedience comes up and following the voice of God, people get intimidated. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest enemies to this is not out there in the world, it's in the church. And in church life, where there's that religious spirit and that control, and I've got to conform to what people think, that's the fear of man. Amen. Sometimes you learn what Peter said here, I must obey God rather than men. Sometimes the persecution is coming from the very church you may be going to. I hope it's not this one, but whatever, learn it. You don't gain anything by following church leaders or following religious leaders and just doing what everybody's saying to do. You grow spiritually because you honor the voice of your shepherd and you follow what he tells you. Paul expressed the same thing really in Acts 26:19 in talking to King Agrippa. He said, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. At what cost, Paul? Ultimately, his life. He followed a course that even his own disciples and people, prophetic voices in the church were telling him, Paul, don't go that way. Don't go to Jerusalem. Don't follow this course. He said, I've got to. My life is all about obedience to that heavenly vision. What a way to live. Oh, I think when people start doing this, it's not just going to tear up the world around us. I think it's going to tear up the religious world we've been a part of. You know, anyway, we won't go further with that. Okay, in Exodus 19, I'm not going to turn there. Verse 5 is a wonderful verse. It says, if you obey my voice and my covenant, you shall be my possession of all the nations of the earth. And the another way, word for possession is special treasure. Even though this is back under old covenant, I think there's something that God is just speaking to our hearts through this. If you will obey my voice and covenant, God is saying you're going to be my special treasure. Something special develops in our relationship with the Father when we make his voice our priority. We come to realize how special we are to him, how he really does possess us and care for us. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll finish here. Familiar verses, I think I'm in here, seems like every week. Verse 6 through 9, talking about Jesus, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above all names. The Son was obedient to the point of death on the cross. What was that all about? It was about the destiny of who he was. Our destiny is not fulfilled by our sacrifices or how often we go to church, all those other things that churches tend to measure. Our destiny is discovered and realized by our personal obedience to the Lord. Talks about obedience is a fruit of humility. Isn't it to say about Jesus? He humbled himself to the point of death on the cross. When we're truly humble, we're in a place where we can just obey what he wants and fulfill our destiny. Now, we can suffer in a lot of different ways, and it doesn't mean we're fulfilling our destiny. Think about Jesus. He had suffered enough before he ever went to the cross, as far as I'm concerned. Here's the Son of God, the righteous one in the earth, not being recognized by many, being reviled, persecuted, but he was obedient to the point of death on the cross. When we're obedient, it takes us beyond just our own suffering. It makes the cross a reality to us where it produces God's destiny. In other words, without obedience, I can suffer many things in life and sacrifice many things. But obedience takes me beyond where I'm willing to go as a person. Like Jesus, it took him beyond that of just being the Son of God, not being understood, to where he gave up his life for us. That was his destiny. What is your destiny? What is our destiny? Believe me, it's beyond whatever prophecies you have written up at home. It's beyond what your mind understands. It's beyond the understanding that's come through the church system. something deeper than that. Obedience will take you to that point because it incorporates the work of the cross and brings you to that point where God's able to release his destiny, how he sees you, what he wants for your life. Release that through you. It's a corporate thing that's going to impact the world, but it's something that every individual has to stand before God and say, I'm willing to follow your voice. Now, the thing about it is nobody's watching when you do this. Go to a big prayer rally, everybody sees you praying, doing what everybody's doing. Talking about your obedience to the Lord, it's like being in your prayer closet. It's between you and God. It's very personal. And we all impart faith to one another for this, but you're not going to get a lot of glory, a lot of praise, the people applauding you for it. It has to be enough that you want to please the Father. And obeying his voice, you know how important that is to God. It's like he looks and says, this is my treasure. You care about what I'm saying to your life. And that becomes our motivation for it. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we have so many ideas about being obedient to you. And I ask this morning that you just wash away old ideas, old thoughts, old conditionings that aren't birthed in the revelation of new covenant life. Give us a fresh new revelation of our obedience to you, the obedience of faith, how it comes out of a relationship with you and how it's such a life-giving and life-ministering force. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.